lifestyle of repentance. Our goal in life is to remain in a Christ-centered perspective. Walking in the Spirit is not a one-time decision. This is a daily focus that needs to be part of our lifestyle. The Apostle Paul said, "I die daily." The flesh is constantly beckoning for our attention and trying to direct our focus on the temporary things of the world. We are called to live with a purpose, and that includes a daily course correction. Each day we have to choose whether we are going to live by an eternal purpose or live for this world that is passing away. Unless you choose to die to the flesh each day, you will begin to drift into the ways of the flesh. Remember when we read the passage that explained how sin from our flesh wars against our minds, trying to bring us back into captivity? The Bible explains that we must renew our minds in order to combat our flesh. Look at Romans 12:2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is reiterated in Ephesians 42:2-24 that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The Bible emphasizes renewal of our minds because where our focus lies is what will motivate our actions. We put off the old man, which is the flesh, and on the new man, which is our life in the Spirit. The flesh's primary focus is on the things that will gratify itself in this temporary life, but our new spirit desires the things of the Spirit and lives from an eternal perspective. This is repentance. Many people think repentance is focused on sin and sorrow, but that isn't what repentance means. Repentance is translated from the Greek word metanoia, which means a change of the mind or change of direction. It is to change our focus and turn to a better way. As we are receiving from the Spirit, we grow in our understanding, and that begins to change what we see as valuable. The flesh sees the lust of the eyes as valuable, but the Spirit reveals that all that our physical eyes see is destined to be lost when life is over, but the things God reveals are for now and are also eternal. Repentance does not mean that we are groveling in failure and wallowing in regret. Sometimes, when we see the truth of righteousness, it creates sorrow over our current choices. But that sorrow is only for the purpose of letting go. There are two types of repentance. One is worldly, and the other is godly. When we see consequences and shame, we sorrow, but the Bible says that this type of sorrow leads to death. Biblical repentance doesn't call us to focus on sin and failure. Biblical repentance shows us the goodness of God, and when we see the truth of God's righteousness and goodness, it produces godly repentance. This leads to life and salvation. This is why the Bible says, "It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance." The Bible gives us many examples of repentance, but two in particular help our understanding of this topic. Judas, one of the disciples, betrayed Jesus. He became frustrated when Jesus began explaining that his kingdom wasn't of this world. I believe that Judas had a plan to force Jesus into action by betraying him. Then Jesus would have to rally his followers to save his life, and then he would have to take over the leadership of Israel. After all, the crowds already tried to take Jesus by force to make him king, but Jesus refused. However, if he had to save himself, this could start the change of leadership, and Judas could be one of the new rulers with him. He didn't understand that Jesus' plan was to die on the cross in order to defeat our sin. When Judas saw that instead of creating a revolution, Jesus had been condemned to die, he regretted the consequences of his actions. He repented or changed his mind and tried to fix his mistake. He took the money that the leaders had given him for betraying Jesus and tried to reverse that decision. When the Jewish leaders refused to take the money back, Judas threw the money at them, then hanged himself. This wasn't godly repentance, it was regret over the consequences of sin. He regretted his actions and couldn't face the shame of losing all that he had worked for during the last 3 years, and the shame of facing his fellow disciples. So he tried to escape through death. Regretting the consequences of our choices may create worldly repentance, which is grounded in sin and death. Godly repentance is transformative. An example of this is in 1 and 2 Corinthians. In the church was a man living a very immoral lifestyle. The church was instructed to remove him, and Paul went as far as to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the body. The loss of fellowship and the suffering of judgment also caused regret, but a different kind of regret. He turned his focus back to Christ. He didn't just focus on his sin, but turned his mind back to Christ and escaped his sin. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul instructed the church to comfort and receive him back into fellowship. Those are examples on the extreme end, but they show that even when we fall into sin, turning back to Christ restores our soul to its rightful place. We don't have to get to the point where we fall into grave sin or fall away from God. If we follow the Bible's instructions for dying to the flesh daily so that we can freely focus on receiving the power of God, then we have that natural course correction in our lives. The Bible promises that we are renewed through the washing of the Word and through the knowledge of Christ. We have to understand that it is not willpower that keeps us from drifting back into the flesh or taking the bait of sin. You can't empower the flesh to resist the temptations of the flesh. You can only crucify the flesh through the Spirit. It is not a human effort. That is also why the Bible says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh cannot assist the Spirit, nor does it have power over your spirit. However, the Spirit has great power over the flesh. Look at one of my favorite passages in Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You have more power to reign in life than you realize. The power of God that raised the dead body of Christ to life from the grave lives within you. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit works in your life with great power. He gives life to your physical body. That life empowers you to live according to the new nature you have been born into, has the power to suppress sin, and He gives life so that you can live in godliness as an overcomer. The person who lives in the Spirit is more than a conqueror, reigns in this life, and experiences the purpose God has designed for them to fulfill. This begins the fruit of the Spirit and the satisfaction of the abundant life you were promised. However, most never live within their God-given calling. Some experience this briefly, but then fade away. The reason is the lack of lifestyle repentance. They neglect the call to renew their minds in the Word and through the Spirit, so there is no course correction. For the person living by faith, repentance is simply course correction. It begins with dying daily, but as you grow in spiritual maturity, you begin to recognize when something is drawing you, and then course correction is a continuous process. Repentance isn't groveling in sorrow, but turning our minds away from the things that are being used to drag us down. Let's look again at wisdom's call. Proverbs 1023. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Proverbs 8004. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. This is what repentance is all about. Rebuke isn't the angry scorn of God. The word rebuke is also translated into correction. Wisdom is your companion. When you get off focus and start to drift, wisdom is the voice in your heart that says, "This is the way, walk in it." Wisdom warns that nothing good is in the direction of temptation. Those who listen have many promises. First, we are promised that God pours His Spirit upon us. That is the power of God. Then God makes the truth of His Word known to us, and He has understanding and strength. Then you have the promise that your wisdom, God's gift to you, will teach you how to judge wisely and objectively, and this will preserve you. The man who finds wisdom will have a happy life. You do not have to struggle to overcome. Overcoming in this life is a gift of God. It comes to those who have ears to listen to God's call and have a heart to respond. Sometimes we have to step back and ask ourselves what we value and what we want out of life. If our heart is in the world, and that is where we draw our value from, there is no amount of personal effort or religion that can keep you on the right way. Sometimes we have to evaluate life and let our hearts be established in grace first, until we recognize that God's ways and promises are more valuable than a momentary indulgence, temptation will win. If we value the gains of this world and our treasures are here, we won't value eternity over this life. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, this is where your heart will be." To the one who listens to God's call and sets their heart to seek Him, that is the person who will be established on the path of life. Blessed is the one whose heart is on a pilgrimage toward God. That is the person who has strength, because their strength comes from the Lord. Finding this is a treasure indeed. Even so, wisdom instructs us through a lifestyle of repentance. Life throws a lot of things in our paths. The enemy will use people, hardships, temptations, and anything else in this world to distract us. Even good things, if they become our focus, are distractions from the greater things God has designed for us. Yet a listening heart hears wisdom's call. Those who turn at wisdom's correction will experience the abundant life and the power of the Spirit. Wisdom will not let you drift off course, but we must be willing to listen. The lifestyle of repentance is hearing the call of God's wisdom and allowing the Lord to lead, even when it doesn't make sense or calls us to let go of what we desire. Then you have the promise of strength, happiness, joy, and success in this life and the life to come. Wisdom teaches you the knowledge of God and will not sacrifice eternal good for a moment of gratification. Listening to God's wisdom is godly repentance, and that is how we receive life. Hear wisdom. Renew your mind. Don't settle for drifting.